You're locked into the only podcast for Maine high school basketball. The biggest names, past and present. It's Big Time Hoops, the podcast, right now.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Big Time Hoops, the podcast. We got a big time. We got Keegan Highland. And as I mentioned before we came on, the best dressed guy to come on Big Time so far. Keegan, what's going on, man?
Not too much. Thanks for having me on. Pleasure to be on here and kind of talk some hoops with you guys.
Absolutely. I love talking hoops. It's going to be good. You're the first person from South Portland, so we're going to get the South Portland perspective.
Don't I discriminate against the Red Riots up here? I mean,
come on. I'm trying to show love to everyone. We just haven't ventured into South Portland yet. So.
Yeah, all right.
Which is good, though, because – you know, I think when you think of the best basketball in the state, people, you know, typically think Portland, the Portland area. And, you know, for good reason, that's where all the good talent's coming out of. But I'm curious, what's the South Portland perspective? Like, are you guys kind of like the little brother? Do you think, like, Portland gets all the love and South Portland's kind of like the little brother down there? What's the whole South Portland vibe like?
You got to be careful with that. South Portland's pretty cool because it's got a lot of history. Probably the most winningest program in the state, Bangor, South Portland, long term. You know, I'm still learning about some of the teams that they had in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. When I was coming into South Portland in high school, my dad's taught there for about 20 years, so I knew the history of some of the really good players when I was growing up, Chris Markwood and those guys. And, it was kind of a little bit of a lull. We hadn't won in a long time, so it was kind of cool to try to get the program restarted a little bit, and they've had a nice run since my time. They've even done better and better. They had a terrific team this year, so it was fun to watch them. And unfortunately, they didn't bring the gold ball home this year. We thought it might have been their year, but it's fun to be involved in the community.
So you mentioned the proud history and your dad being the teacher there. So I'm guessing you kind of grew up around the program. I'm guessing you went to games as a kid, just loved Red Riot basketball. What it's like some of your earliest memories of South Portland basketball?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I remember my dad taught there since pretty much I was born, and he moved to Maine. So I remember going to see Chris Markwood, and especially Chris, you know, kind of hype around him when I was probably elementary school at that point. But going to the Civic Center, watching them, battle through the years. South Portland wasn't quite as good. I remember seeing Kander Medley and then the Shevers. It was kind of more when I was growing up through middle school area, when South Portland was a little bit down. But definitely, you know, trying to go to the Beale Gymnasium and watching games on Tuesday and Friday nights with my folks, my brother, and friends was always a great pastime.
You mentioned some of the names, some of the kids that were coming up in Portland when you were coming up. So some great basketball in the area. And I was thinking about this. I'm curious. So, I feel like nowadays kids are more so get a trainer, get in the gym, get better. But I feel like, you know, before that, the generation before that, it was take the time to get better, go find an open run and go compete, right? So I'm curious, where did you go to compete? Like, where were you going to find runs when you were growing up? Like, where were the spots to go find a good pickup game?
Yeah, one of the blessings of South Portland is we never had a lack of finding gym time or being in the Portland area, being able to find a run outside. You know, one of my things growing up was trying to always be like a network with the good players in the area. And I would get guys and text guys to come to the gyms. Early on, we had a lot of good runs in South Portland, you know, some of the outdoor courts, Portland Pace Park, getting to know some of the Portland guys and developing that core of guys. And then kind of as we got going through high school between SMCC, the rec center, the boys club in South Portland, you know, we were in there all day long, you know, and it's kind of interesting seeing the dynamic shift now. Where, you know, from what I'm seeing, kids don't just go to the gym and play for 5, 6, 7 hours a day. And, you know, that's just what we did. We just played pickup all day on Saturdays and Sundays. And we were outside, you know, wherever we could get a hoop. I think the training stuff's great. It's good to work on. But anybody that I've ever worked with, I say, you know, I'm not going to get you better if I'm working with you. It's how good do you want to be? And are you going to initiate to go play one-on-one all day at the park? Are you going to, you know, people complain there's no gyms are open during this period with the coronavirus, you know, and but you can go outside all day long. You can go to a parking lot and work on your game and play some one-on-one or two-on-two and just with your buddies and have a good time all day. And I think that's where a lot of the guys of my age and even before me really improved and became really great players.
So for some of us who grew up in small town, man, we grew up and played with like the same 10, 15 guys our entire lives. But, you know, growing up in a city, you got South Portland, you got Portland, you got all the surrounding areas. So who were some of the guys you came up with from some of the other schools that you mentioned just being able to find a run and just build that network with?
Yeah, so I became pretty close with a lot of the Chevers guys. There's a couple of them grew up in South Portland. Kyle Randall, Joe Falconeri growing up, and then got really close with Indiana Faithful. And some of the other, you know, Indy was playing AAU with me, so we were together a lot when he moved here his sophomore, junior year. And Griffin Brady was another really good player from the area, Connor O'Neill. You know, and then Stefano Mancini's another guy, Dominic Morelli. I mean, these guys were all guys we built an AAU team together. You know, there was a couple fragmented teams, and we were like, you know, why don't we just all play together and go compete on the national level and go down to Boston and be winning these tournaments as opposed to playing for three different teams. And so we all played for Coach Parker after my sophomore year. He's a Bangor guy and one of the best coaches in the state, in my opinion. And we traveled up to Bates. We traveled up to Fort Kent Kent Hill for all our practices. You know, we drove all over the place just to compete and play with each other. And then when we weren't doing that all through high school, we were at the rec center at South Portland, and we were at Community College where we had access to the gym and just, you know, playing. We became great friends, but competed and pushed each other to get better.
What's your favorite gym in South Portland? You mentioned some of the good ones. The rec center is nice. SMCC is a fun little gym. What was your favorite one growing up?
That's a good question. I got to go with the rec center. I probably put more time in at the rec center than anywhere else. But SMCC is a close second. You know, I got access to that gym a little bit later when I was older. I think SMCC is the best gym in the state.
Like, think so?
To play in, yeah. For sure, but the rec center's got the nostalgic factor for me where I don't miss a whole lot of shots at the rec center.
So you mentioned how South Portland had like a great history, you know, teams in the 70s, 80s, 90s. And then when you came in, what was the program at? You know, were you coming into an established program? Did you have established players in front of you? Or were you coming into a situation where you got a chance to play right off the bat?
Yeah, it was the program had been down a little bit for a couple of years, and, you know, kind of flirting with the playoffs, which hasn't really been the case for a long time, you know, but they were kind of that 7th-8th seed for a while. And I was fortunate to be given an opportunity coming, you know, out of 8th grade. I was okay. You know, I could dribble and shoot and like to play a lot of ball, and it was kind of tall. But Coach Tobias, who was the coach at the time, he gave me an opportunity in summer league. Know, coming in, and he invited me to some, I remember, in summer league practice. Actually, I don't even know if I was invited. I think I just showed up, to be honest, because I said I wanted to play on a varsity team, and he didn't take me out. So I remember that specifically. And, you know, and I ended up playing, and he just, after that, a couple of times I went, he's like, he invited me to play in the summer league with the varsity guys, and that was kind of a pipe dream. That's what I was working for all summer to play. But they needed some help, and you know, I wasn't the greatest player as a freshman, you know, skinny little kid, but was given an opportunity to contribute and play the point, dribble the ball, and get the ball to the older guys. We had a great center, Coleman Finley, who had a great career at SMCC afterwards. You know, it was pretty much get the ball to Coleman and don't make a whole lot of mistakes freshman year. But, you know, it was kind of cool that we turned the corner with the program, got it to, we became like a 4-5 seed and then kind of ramped it up each year. We were able to be in high school.
This was back when there's only 4 classes, so Class A back then was a little bit different than what Class A is now. So, and schedule was not soft, I'm guessing, right? I'm guessing, you know, it was all the Portland schools. It was Thornton. It was all of those things, right?
So I'm a little confused. I don't even know who's in what conference anymore.
It's weird. Yeah, like Portland's A North, but like South Portland's A South. And
I mean, we had the SMAA, and that was a battleground every year. I mean, the Portland schools, we played Chevers, Deering, Portland twice every year, home and away. And at the time coming in, South Portland hadn't beaten any of those schools in a long time. So that was like, you know, you had to bring your game every time against those teams. TA was great as well. And then Westbrook emerged to be pretty good with Borelli and Jobin my age. So, you know, we had, yeah, we definitely had some fights and competed pretty hard against those guys.
Yeah, so for those that aren't from the Portland area, just explain what it's like when these Portland teams get together. I mean, I'm guessing, you know, it's like you said, you guys all play together in the summer times and stuff like that. But, you know, a lot of proud traditions there, a lot of historic schools and big-time rivalries. Like, what are those games actually like for those that have never, ever experienced it or not from that area?
Yeah, I mean, those are the games you circle on the calendar every year. You know, Portland, South Portland, the Battle of the Bridge. You know, Deering had won the state championship right before I got into high school. Chevers had been terrific with Coach Brown and the allotment of players that he got to play in college. You know, so we knew we were the underdog every time going against those games. But you know, everybody's from the area. The gyms would be packed, sold out, you know, whether it was at Field Gymnasium in South Portland or I think actually Chevers' gym is Keegan Gymnasium, which I like to say they named after me, but I know that's not true. my record there probably doesn't show that, as we were like 1-3 there. So, but no, it was a great environment always.
So you mentioned now you guys came in, or you came in as a freshman, and you guys kind of turned the corner as a program. So, you know, where did things go from there? I'm guessing it only got better for you as a player. Developing obviously got better, but how did the team get better as well?
Yeah, we had a really unique group my sophomore year with a great senior class with some terrific players and leadership there. And you know, I really took that summer after my freshman year and was like, okay, I'm really gonna dedicate myself to this game and try to take myself to the next level. I had, like what a lot of people say, you know, you have your goals. Like, I'm going to play Division One. I'm going to accomplish, win a state championship, score 1,000 points. You know, all those things that were driving me every summer. And, you know, and then I had those seniors that were, you know, leading the way for me. So we had a good core group of guys, and we were really proud about, you know, let's take this to the next step. And that year, we had a great year. I think we finished third in the SMAA, and then we beat Chevers on their home court when they were undefeated. And to win the state championship against Bangor that year. And we thought we had a chance just like anybody. You know, we ended up losing the Civic Center to a great TA team. But it was, you know, that was kind of our first breath of it. Like, we were beating the Portland City teams consistently, the Deerings and Portland Chevers. So that was like another level up for us. And, you know, it was unfortunate to lose, but we knew we had a lot of potential going forward. And then some of the guys in my class, and we actually didn't have anybody on our team my whole class. We didn't have anybody in South Portland playing basketball. So it kind of was this big gap that it was like, okay, it was now the senior team with a couple of young guys, and then it was going to be, okay, this whole team is going to be juniors coming back with no seniors at all. So that was an interesting dynamic.
So obviously now you're doing the training thing now, which we'll touch on a little bit later when we get to it. But so nowadays you help people get better and work out and stuff like that. I'm curious how you got better. Like, you mentioned setting goals and stuff like that. What were your off seasons like? I mean, I feel like now if you're helping someone get better, you can assess their weaknesses and set goals for them. How did you self-assess what you needed to get better at, and how'd you get better?
Yeah, I mean, it started in, I remember starting seventh grade. I had a guidance counselor come in and kind of, you know, go through the whole goal thing that most people have had. And he was like, what do you want to do in life? And where do you want to be? At the time, I remember watching March Madness, and I was like, nah, that's where I want to be. I want to play there in seventh grade and try to figure it out. But I've always been a planner. I mean, I'm in financial planning business now, so I guess it makes sense. But, you know, it's like, where do I want to be in 1 year, 5 years? And I was like, I want to start on varsity as a freshman. I want to score 1,000 points as a junior. I want to go to Division One. I want to play professional basketball. And then, you know, at that point, I wanted to coach Division One basketball was my end goal. And that's what I try to teach a lot of kids is, you know, have those big arching goals, but you got to have small micro goals within them. Okay, you want to start on varsity as a freshman in a year and a half. What are you going to do every day to get there? My whole thing is, you know, I was really fortunate to have a lot of support people around me to support my goals, but I was going to outwork everybody. And that's what I try to teach people more than anything, that mentality of how are you going to, you know, if it was easy, everybody would go do it, right? You got to distance yourself and do things that other people aren't willing to do, whether it's weight training or sprints in the summer and the heat and not going to the beach and sacrificing some time with your friends. And, that's kind of what my mentality was that I was going to do absolutely everything to get the most out of my potential. And I mean, that's what I did. I spent 7, 8, 9 hours a day working out every day. That's what I did pretty much from eighth grade all the way through, through college into my professional career. So.
And then eventually it all clicked because junior year, you make All-State. You mentioned the year before how you kind of had that senior laden group. So yeah. What was it about that junior year? Like, what was it that kind of just clicked? Was it just kind of stepping into a bigger role, or was it all the work that you put in? Like, what made that junior year so successful?
Yeah, it was, it came back to really the big thing was I had a great year my sophomore year, but still was like a younger guy trying to figure it out. Thought I was pretty good, but didn't know how good. And I went and played AAU with Coach Parker, with the MBR team, and was playing when I went up to the first tryout at CMB's, MCC, Central Maine Community College, yeah. But like Tom Knight was up there, Lee Subalu, Sam LeClair, all these great guys that were all first team All State, you know. And I remember going up and playing that first day and driving, I didn't play great, driving home afterwards. And I was like, I remember talking to my dad, I was like, I don't think I'm good enough to play that. I'm not, those guys are another level. And he was like, you know, stick it up, like go back another day. And I did, and I wasn't going to quit. But that year, Coach Parker really like taught me more than anything, like the mentality of, you know, don't back out for anybody. You know, I didn't know how good I was or how good I could be, but it was belief in myself. And that summer going into my junior year, I probably got 30 or 40 Division I offers. And it was a lot because people were there to see Tom Knight when I was playing out of state. And he was a big 6'9", 6'10" guy, like going, you know, going to Notre Dame. And people were there to see him, and I had a pretty good summer with it. And, you know, that just, you know, having success out of state and starting to believe in yourself, like, all right, maybe I can do this. And that just reinforced my work ethic through the summer. And then by the time junior year came around, I was like, all right, I'm going to be that guy now. And because I have done it out of state. So coming back to Maine, nothing against Maine basketball, but it's, you know, it's a different level at that out of state level. So
it all clicks junior year, and then senior year you get hurt, right? Yeah. So what was it like dealing with adversity probably for the first time, right? Like that's probably like your first time dealing with some serious adversity. So yeah. Coming at a time when everything's just starting to click for you and you're kind of on the way up. How did you deal with that adversity?
Yeah.
What was the injury anyway? I couldn't find out what the actual injury was.
That's a good question because I don't think anybody knew. That was the basic. you know, I mean, it was partly – I probably did it to my, like, I overworked myself. There's no doubt about it. And balance is key. And, you know, I didn't have that. So, I hurt my groin in the summer of AAU right before the Nationals. And I kept playing through it a little bit because it was a big summer for me to get to where I wanted to go. But so I had nagging groin injury all the way through the fall and it just didn't go away. So they thought I had a pubic bone fracture. They thought I had a hernia. Thought I had a torn groin. They couldn't figure out what was going on. I missed the entire year until at the end of the year in the playoffs. I just said, you know, I'm going to play. I'm not, you know, I'm going to go out there and give it because that was our year. I mean, we were probably the favorites to win the states that year. We had a great team, all seniors coming back, and I missed everything except for one regular season game and two playoff games, and. You know, I tell people I was limping up and down on one leg trying to make it go of it, but it wasn't myself. And yeah, it was frustrating. You know, it was more like letting down your community and your teammates because so many people were excited about the year and getting South Portland back to getting a gold ball and, you know, sitting, not being able to do anything, you know, and, you know, it was challenging for sure. But fortunately I had a great support system, my family and school and teammates and, was able to get on the court at least a little bit at the end of the year, even though it didn't end up the way we wanted it.
And then for you, that's got to be tough because you talked about the goals you set. You know, wanted to go play in college, play at the highest level, play D1. To miss your senior year, how did that impact ultimately where you went to college and what was the recruiting process like? Just, you know, you mentioned some of the school or the number of schools that were interested. How'd you narrow it down? How'd you pick Gonzaga? You know, what were some of the other schools in play?
It was an interesting and long process. You know, my goal from the first day, and maybe it was a detriment of me, but I wanted to play at the highest level. I wanted to play in the Big East, the ACC. That was where I wanted to go. And maybe that's where I had blinders on that, but you know, I had a lot of the American East, Ivy League, Patriot League, you know, Atlantic 10 was really where I got a lot of interest, URI, UMass, those guys had all offered me going into my senior year. I took an official to UVM, William & Mary, Princeton, a couple of those schools. You know, but to me, it was like, I feel like I can play at a higher level. And I was wanted to at least try it. So when I had got hurt, I ended up committing to prep school for a year. So I was like, no, I think I got to give this a crap. So I committed to Brewster Academy originally. And then very late, Gonzaga came in and gave me a call. I remember after practice one day when I was trying to limp up and down the court for the playoffs, Coach Few gave me a call and said, hey, we're looking for a shooter for next year. You know, I know it's late, but we're looking for someone next year. Are you interested? So that ended up, you know, kind of was a 360 and happened right after the season. They flew out, watched me do a workout out here. I shot the ball relatively well, at least well enough to get an offer to go on a visit. Went out there, played pretty well and really thought it over for a couple hours and was like, you know, this is a pretty special program to be a part of and something that I wanted to, you know, was fit a lot of the boxes of what my dreams were in college.
So ultimately you go to Gonzaga and didn't get to play. So was it the same injury or different injury or what was the story that when you're out there at Gonzaga?
So yeah, it was still the same injury. They didn't know what had happened. It kind of affected a lot of my body, my knees, my ankles, like everything on the left side of my body was giving me issues. But it was more, I was playing, I played through the summer, kind of was getting through and playing in the fall. And I got a really bad concussion two nights before our first game of the year. I was playing in the preseason and had a pretty good chance to crack the lineup from what I was thinking and seeing. And then just in practice, got hit in the head, back of the head, you know, came down with it and just had this flying concussion it ended up lasting a long time. We were actually, our first game of the year, I like to tell the stories. San Diego State was lucky that I got hurt. That was a team they had Kawhi Leonard. And Kawhi was a sophomore. I was like, you know, Kawhi might not have had a quite career if I had gotten locked him out of there. Totally joking. Kawhi was probably the most impressive athlete I've ever seen. And he couldn't even shoot or score when we played him. But, you know, yeah, it was frustrating. You know, I didn't get to play at the level I wanted to. That concussion lasted for a while and ended up deciding to come back closer to home after a number of issues and still couldn't figure out my hip really what was going on. And that wasn't until my year at Fairfield that I figured out I had a hip labrum tear and got the surgery and got everything fixed.
Well, for those that have never been out there to like a big time D1 basketball environment, like a great environment like Gonzaga, yeah. Obviously you were only there for a year. What was the environment like, you know, at that level? Yeah. What's like?
It's like playing for the Lakers, because it's a small town in Washington, Spokane. You know, Gonzaga basketball is everything. You know, it's the only show in town. Every game has been sold out for 25 years, 7,000-person arena. People are tenting out. The students are tenting out just to be first in line to get on ESPN, not even to get into the game. So it was pretty cool. You know, it was a big-time schedule. We played Notre Dame. We played all the big schools all around. And, you know, you're in the tournament every year. It's a little different coming from Maine high school basketball. But, you know, it was cool to be a part, really cool to be a part of the program. And, you know, I wish it had worked out a little bit more and to be able to play. But Maine met some terrific people out there and, you know, ended up in a good spot overall after everything shut down.
Your thoughts on Spokane? I've been to Spokane one time. I went out there for Hoop Fest a long, long, long time ago.
Hoop Fest is a legendary weekend.
Yeah, so yeah. I enjoyed my weekend. Spokane was interesting. Yeah. Your thoughts on Spokane as a city?
It's come around a long time. They do call it Spokompton.
Yes.
That was what I heard when I first got there. Yeah. You know, I don't know if I'd go back other than to see people from Gonzaga. But you know, it is a cool town though. Like Gonzaga really is the heart and soul of that town, and people take a lot of pride in it. So it was a cool community to be a part of.
So you mentioned you left Gonzaga, wound up at Fairfield, right, for a year.
Yeah.
What was the decision process to go there?
So I wanted to get back closer in the East Coast. You know, I was looking at a couple different places. You know, it wasn't Bentley actually is where I ended up after that, which we can talk about, but you know, I wasn't quite ready to give up the Division I thing at that point. Fairfield had a great coach, Ed Cooley, who's now the Providence coach. He offered me a scholarship and then left, and Sidney Johnson got the job, who who had recruited me pretty heavily at Princeton. So it felt like a great fit coming in there, being his first recruit, transferring back. And, you know, unfortunately was hurt the whole year. You know, I really was hurt for 3 straight years pretty consistently. And, you know, again, talk about frustration, not being able to do what you've been working for your whole life and trying to get that college experience. But, you know, it was a great experience. It didn't work out, for either sides, but, you know, Coach Johnson's a great guy and still stay close to the staff.
And ultimately you wound up at Bentley, which
yep.
seems to be where all the main kids end up.
So, were you one of the first, right?
Yeah.
Me and
you, too. So were you one of the first main kids there, or was that main train already well established when you showed up?
It was established. So Sam McClair was there. He recruited me over. He played point guard with me when I was playing AAU for Coach Parker. And he had gone to Bryant and then transferred there, so he knew the transfer train a little bit. And then my other teammate, Jacob Moore, was there. And Andrew Shaw, who I didn't know at the time, was also there. So there was a good handful of guys. You know, I didn't really know Tyler McFarland or Alex Furness too well. Knew they were going there, just coincidentally. But it was, you know, the school, academically, the location, the storied history, and then Coach Lawson really put it over the top for me. And they gave me a home and kind of one last chance to get my career on its feet. Nobody really thought I was ever going to play again after being hurt for 3 or 4 years. So it became a home for me, and you know, it really helped help me get back on my feet.
So you'd really been out of, you hadn't really played like almost 3 years, right? I mean, yeah. Missed senior year, then missed 2 years, would have been your first 2 years of college.
Yeah.
At any point, were you thinking maybe this is it? Maybe this, I'm just, you know, I'm tired of rehabbing. I'm tired of trying to work my way back. Like, we talked about adversity. I mean, that's a lot of adversity.
Yeah. There certainly were those moments. But I had put so much into the game, and I knew I truly believe there was a greater purpose that I was going to be able to play and experience that college experience. And, you know, I've never really been one to quit on anything, and I had to see it through. And Bentley was really that last chance for me. You know, if I hadn't been able to play there, I probably would have had to kind of call it a career. And, you know, so it definitely tested me. Coach Lawson and I joke, you know, I have maybe the longest book of circuitous journey of any kind of high school or college kid you could find. But, you know, at the end of the day, I couldn't have found a better place to have gone. I wouldn't have changed anything for it. Family became a home to me and some of my best friends there. Still stay close to them all to this day. And, you know, all those main guys we mentioned, we got together for a barbecue last Thursday night. You know, they're my brothers and best friends to this day. So it really ended up being a terrific place for me. It just took me 4 years to find it before I was willing to go there. So
so for those of us that have never been to a Bentley game, which is probably a lot of us because it's not in the state,
yeah.
But, you know, we talked about the main kids that go there, and I mean, that pipeline's still going. Well, what's the Bentley environment like?
It's it's a terrific program. I mean, Coach Lawson's been there for a long time, and the style of play is exciting, free flow offense, and just guys hard-nosed blue collar guys that are out there willing to compete, be able to shoot, pass, and dribble. The environment's great. I mean, the school's supportive. Play in the NE10, which is probably one of the best Division II conferences in the country. You're playing at St. Ames and Stonehill, and you know, Lemoyne's been very good in recent years. But again, it's like the SMA in high school in Maine. It was a battle every single night, and you know, we got tested. You know, and it's funny coming out of high school. You know, I thought I was Division I, and you're like, oh, what's Division II? You know, I'm telling you, you don't realize how good a basketball it is at the Division II level. You know, it's just people might not be as tall or as athletic as they are in Division I. Division II guys can really play. And we had our battles all the way through, and it was a tremendous experience then.
And like I said, that pipeline's still going in that South Portland pipeline. We got Maggie Whitmore from South Portland going there.
Oh, yeah. Excited to see her take campus next year.
Yeah. Looking back on the college years, maybe not the way you wanted it to play out or the way you had thought it would be going into it, but what do you take away most from your time at Bentley and playing college basketball?
Yeah, it's a couple things I tell people all the time is, you know, maybe not biggest mistake, but when I was growing up, it was all about what level I was going to go play at, because it was like what I was working for. It's really it's about finding somewhere that's a good fit for you, where you're going to be able to thrive and succeed. And because, you know, my teammates became like a brotherhood for me. You know, guys that we're all close to this day, my coaches I'm close with. Like I said, I wouldn't trade it for anything if someone had given me an opportunity to go somewhere else and not have those. But, you know, just thinking about competing, playing with your brothers and working for things. And just it was just pure basketball purity, really, which was awesome. And, you know, times that we'll never forget and continue to – I'm still close to the whole program, so I know all the guys that are down there. Chris Hudson is the main guy up north. He just had an unbelievable career. He signed with my agent. And he's going overseas to play now. So it's really cool to just be a part of such a storied program and get to know the guys old and young.
Are you pushing kids down there? Are you trying to keep the main connection going?
I'm on the Falcon train for life. You know, I tell Coach Lawson I'm his main recruiter up here. So I keep him abreast with the talent up this way.
Absolutely. What happened right after college? You mentioned that, you know, Chris Hudson's got your agent. So, you know, what happened? You mentioned that was one of your goals too, right? You wanted to go play professional when you were setting goals back in the day. So what wound up happening for you?
Yeah. So, I was real fortunate to have, you know, first and foremost to get healthy and have the career that I was able to have. But signed with my agent, who was a guy out of, Athens, Greece. He had repped a couple of the Bentley guys before and signed a contract in right outside of Amsterdam in the Netherlands. So played for a year for a team called Zwolle, or in the town Zwolle, in the Dutch A League over there. So like you said, it was something that would always been on my checklist of goals and to work your way towards it. It was a tremendous year and experience and country. Can't say enough good things about the country and the league that we competed in. We lost in the finals that year. Had a great season and lost to another terrific team, but it's a whole nother level and a different kind of game over there in Europe than it is in the States.
How long did you do it for? Was it just the 1 year and came back, or was it kind of one of those things where you did it and, you know, you met your goal and you were done, or what were there other challenges?
Yeah, no, I had some more concussion issues, which set me back a little bit. I'd gone in with the mentality that I was going to keep playing and moving up as long as I could. That's kind of the ropes, especially coming out of D2. You know, you got to start here, move up to Germany, to France, hopefully get up to the level. I mean, Nick Cannon-Medley and I became really close through my last couple of years, and he was mentoring me to, you know, hopefully get to a level where he is, and he's had a terrific, unprecedented European career. And, you know, I had a great start to the year, was playing, you know, it's all about numbers really over there when to move up. And, you know, I ended up getting a bad concussion in February. And again, just like took me out for about a month and a half. And by the time I got back, I was working my way back into rotation and it kind of threw off all my numbers. And I knew I was going to have to repeat that year. I mean, they offered me to come back and it would have been great, but for me, I had a lot of other things I wanted to do after the game. And I, you know, at that point, I had a lot of issues in my head and my body. And it was, you know, there's a time when your career comes and it's like, no, it might be time. And I was kind of at peace with it, which was weird because I never thought I would be, because basketball was all I knew and all I did. But I was ready, you know, combination of like my interest from Bentley from a business standpoint and, kind of taking the next step in life. But at the end of the year, I feel like it wasn't a question. It was just like, you know, I'm ready for something different. Like, this was awesome, but I got to try something else.
So what did you wind up deciding to do when you came back home? Did you come right back home to South Portland, or was there another stop on the way before you are where you are right now?
One more stop on the way. You know, I had to, like I said, I always thought I was going to be a college coach, Division I. You know, I was going to go coach for Duke and, you know, work my way up the Division I ladder. So my brother was then a senior at LeMoyne College at the time, who competes in the 80-10, and they just had a great 2-3 years, actually. Won the league, went to the NCAA tournament, and their coach was Patrick Beilein, who is the son of John Beilein, who's a Michigan storied coach and unbelievable guy. And so he called me right when I was thinking about what I was going to do the next year, and Pat called me and said, hey, you ever thought about coaching? And you know, I kind of went back and forth on it because I had some opportunities professionally from my business degree. And, you know, I said, you know, I gotta try it. Like, you know, I always thought I was gonna do this. You know, let me at least give it a swing and he was on the track for Division One, so it would be a good way to get into that path. And so I ended up going up there and getting coached by my brother his senior year, which was awesome. And, you know, we had, it was a great, I mean, we ended up going to the Elite Eight, won the Indy 10. He had a great year. So it was really cool for myself, for my family. My parents were able to come up and have us both in the same spot. And, you know, I loved coaching. I did at the end of the day. I knew it wasn't what I wanted to do my whole life. I wanted a different challenge and had done the basketball thing full time. But it was, you know, getting to work with the kids and help them, you know, mentor them and help them with their mentality and their work ethic was just a terrific year.
And then wound up back in South Portland and here we are and doing here the financial, doing the financial planning thing now, but also giving back to the youth, working with the youth. So how'd you get back into, you know, or how'd you get into training, working with some kids now?
Yeah.
How'd that all come about?
Yeah, I started working with Zach O'Brien a little bit. I used to train with him at the next level stuff. And when I got home, he originally, you know, I wasn't sure 100% what I was going to do, but I wanted to stay involved with the game. I still play a lot, which is a good way to stay in it. But, you know, I had kind of missed the working with kids aspect of it. And Zach asked me to help him with a couple clinics and, you know, got back in the community. Some people remember who I was. Other people been kind of removed for a while. But a couple parents had found out I was home. And, oh, we work my son. Like, you know, you'd be a great mentor on him, kind of share some of the wisdom and stuff that you've learned through the years in college and pro and whatnot. And so I did that for a little bit and just loved it. You know, working with the kids is great. You know, I feel like I was so blessed to have so many people help me through the years, give me guidance, and help me develop. So to be able to pass that wisdom on to some people and help them alter their life and make strides as a player and as a person, has been great. It's kind of just through word of mouth, people have been like, hey, like, you know, you're working with this guy, we work with this other person. So it's been fun. I do have to remind people that I do have a full-time job. So I can only do so much of the training stuff, but, yeah. But it, you know, it's tremendous. I get to work with some great kids, who really value and want to get better. And, you know, that's kind of what I tell people. You know, I'm only going to work with you if you want to get better and you're going to listen to the things I say. Not that I know everything, but like I have been through the ringer a little bit, so I can, give you some bits of wisdom and, you know, it's been special to, you know, help them more mentality wise, maturity wise, and then kind of develop that relationship so I can go watch them in high school and see them make strides as people.
And so last week we had Camille on. She mentioned that she's been working with you. Who are some of the other people you're working with? How about you show some love to some of the kids you're working with right now? Maybe give us a little hint as to who may be having a breakout next year.
Yeah. I work with, you know, a variety of kids. I think a couple of kids I work with the most are Jack Stoll, Brady Coyne, and Pete Sihajis. They're a kind of group that I've been working with over the last two years or so. I think they're all going to have great years coming up. Camille's been working really, really hard with me. You know, a lot of the Greeley Cumberland kids I worked through for the year. I worked with Logan Bagshaw a lot over the last couple of years, and he's really, I mean, a lot of credit to the changes he's had in his game and excited for the opportunity he has in the Indy 10. But it's, you know, it's been a blast working with them and some of the South Portland guys, Anthony Cloutier, I've been working with Chevers. So it's been a lot of fun and helping see their growth.
Yeah, and I'm curious. So, you know, when you're a coach, you're a little bit more all involved with game planning and, you know, practices. Yeah. And how's it, and what you got that experience? How's it different being a trainer? And do you get more satisfaction out of seeing direct results from, you know, the suggestions and the things that you're implementing with these kids? Like, do you think you get more out of the working with them versus maybe being a coach and running a program?
It's very different. You know, as a coach and you run a program, you try to keep that level of separation. And kind of being more big picture with stuff. I really like the training, like the individual stuff, because for me, that's what my bread and butter was. That's how I built my game, you know, spending time working on drills and developing myself. But also, you know, you get to develop the relationships with the kids and you get to know them on a personal level more than you would as like, you know, kind of a removed head coach. And so I get to, you know, it's fun. You get to joke around with them, but also push them at the same point and give them direction and tell them when they need to shape up and kind of take things more seriously. But, you know, it's been something that I've really enjoyed, and just to help people accomplish their goals. You know, I think it can be, it's not just a basketball thing. It's something that, I'm hopefully teaching them things that are going to carry them through their academics and carry them through their professional life and their family life. You know, I think things that you can, it's similar disciplines and habits that are make will make you successful, and it just happens to be they're utilizing it for basketball and academics.
Couldn't agree more. Couldn't agree more right there. So before we get up out of here, I'm just going to touch on some random topics, random questions here. This is the fun part of the episode. So
perfect.
My first question, you don't have to give me the Mount Rushmore of South Portland, but is Josh Mackey on the South Portland Mount Rushmore?
First, I got to ask, what's your connection to Josh Mackey? Because Mackey's a very good friend of mine.
He used to date my sister.
No way. Okay.
Yeah. Yep. So I know Mackie pretty well. I've known Mackie for a while.
So Mackie was on my – he was one of those seniors when I was a sophomore. Mackie was the best three-point shooter from NBA distance you would have found in the state of Maine as a lefty. Went on to have an unbelievable career at SMCC as well, and as I'm sure you know. We give Josh a lot of crap because Josh is – I mean, he could really shoot, like really shoot the ball. But he could not make a right hand layup. Like he was like afraid of his right hand. Like, you know, he would be like, yo, Mac, just go make the layup. So I think he might have been on that Mount Rushmore if he had developed that right hand layup.
So how about this? If he's not on the Mount Rushmore at South Portland High School, is he on the South Portland Rec Center Mount Rushmore? Because I feel like he might be a legend in there.
So he's actually a legend on something we used to call the Yellow Slide, which is right by his old house over in the Willard Beach neighborhood. It was about the hardest rim to shoot on in the world. They since have removed it, probably because Mackie made too many shots out there. But Mackie could splash threes out on that court like nobody else. I was a pretty good shooter, and Mackie would outshoot me every day of the week on the Yellow Slide out there.
Yeah. Shout out to Mackie. Mackie needs some love. Shout out to Mackie right there.
Yeah, big Mackie guy.
Yeah. So how about this? We mentioned the main connection with Bentley. You got to pick five guys. Your Bentley five of main guys that have been to the program. Who are your five main guys from Bentley? You got a bunch of good ones to choose from.
You're throwing me back on that one. I'm going to go with my guy, Tyler McFarlane and Alex Furness. Definitely going to take them. I'm going to stay with myself, Portland Red Riot Pride, taking Chris Sawyer from back in the early 90s out there. Chris was a great player and someone I've gotten to know pretty well through the years through that connection. And I think I'm going to go – I'm probably forgetting someone. I'm going to get some backlash from this. But I'm going to go Sam LeClaire as my other one there. Sam was, Mr. Basketball up at Winthrop and terrific player. And no one competed harder than Sam. Now, Sam is a good, very good friend of mine. He won't play basketball anymore because he's not as good as he used to be, and frustrates me too much. That's how much a competitor he is. So but Sam was great too. So I'm definitely forgetting somebody, but that's what I'm going to go with.
We mentioned Bagshaw earlier, and I think you go to the runs at the Bagshaw house, right? You go play 3-on-3 there.
I make an appearance when I can. Yeah, I try to get up there. It's usually a fun time.
How intense is it? And if you had to bring two other guys, like who are your two? If you show up at the Bagshaw house, like who are you picking? Like if you got to pick two,
it depends on the night. So there's different nights. There's like the intense night where we're bringing as many competitive guys, and then you get the other nights which are probably more fun, to be honest. Where you get some of the older guys mixing in there that aren't playing quite as intently. So like we had a good night a couple. Weeks ago, like Troy Barney's came down and played Graham Safford. There's a good amount of guys that are that were terrific college players and still great players. So we try to get them more competitive. I think the other list is you're looking for different attributes potentially for the second fun group. So
definitely, and those runs I've been catching a couple. They've been on Facebook Live. I've caught a couple, just kind of peeking in a little bit.
Yeah, so. Mike McDevitt's been there a couple times. Mike's a heck of a player, and he's really I'm really proud of the career he's put together over in Europe right now, too.
Absolutely. So we got the Noonan tournament coming up. I had the Noonan guys on a couple of weeks ago. We talked about this year's tournament. They mentioned some guys are going to be in there. Are you going to be there? You playing in Noonan this year?
Yeah, I am, if it happens. I hope it does. It's always one of my favorite. I've been playing for about 5 or 6 years. This year I'm playing with – I kind of circle teams. For whatever reason, I've just always kind of jumped from one team to the next. I think it's fun getting to play with different guys. I'm playing with a bunch of the older St. Joe's guys, and then a kid, Devin Gilligan, who played against me at Southern New Hampshire and still plays over in Europe for a while. So we should have a good team, and get a lot of guys that know how to play together, so it should be fun. And it's always fun competing against the other teams. I think Bentley's got a team with some of the young guys there going, and I know Bagshaw's, they have a team. I think Troy's playing with them. And trying to think, a couple of Falmouth guys are playing on different teams. So it's always a great weekend.
Always a great weekend. If people could check it out, go check that out this year. It's going to be fun as always. All right, so I got a serious question before we get up out of here. So you mentioned all the time you missed with injuries. It came at a time, you know, senior year, could have won a state championship. Could have played, Gonzaga didn't work out. Concussion injuries or concussions when you were playing pro. Looking back, like, what's the one that hurts the most? Like, what, you know, if you have, like, a specific time frame, you can go back and things would have worked out. Would it have been get that gold ball? Would it have been play Gonzaga? Would it have been, like, a longer pro career in Europe?
That's a good question. I don't know. I think senior year would have been pretty special to be a part of. Like, the community really had rallied around growing up in the area my whole life. And now being back in this area, too, you know, it's kind of made it even more – sting a little bit more that we didn't win a state championship. It's probably a tie, though. Like, you know, going Gonzaga was my dream and having a chance to play at that level, and I really was in a position to do so. So it's kind of a tie there, but I guess because I'm back in Maine, I'm going to go with the Red Riots missing that year, not getting a gold ball for us.
Nothing wrong with picking the home squad right there.
Yep.
Before we get up out of here, I always give the guests the chance to have the floor here. Anything you want to say before we get up out of here? Any breaking news, any rumors you want to clear up, anything at all? This is your chance to speak directly to the people before we get up out of here.
Well, I like to put it out, the best run in Maine is still a run that we put together Sunday mornings. We try to get a lot of the college guys in the area, like Jeff Manchester and Zach Wheel, and a lot of guys that played. Coming back, unfortunately, the men's league runs around here aren't very good. So I was like, you know, I'm going to try to get some of the best guys around here on Sunday mornings. It's kind of paused because of COVID. But we have a pretty good run around here. So if anybody thinks they can really play, they're always welcome if they want to step on the floor with us.
Where is that run at?
South Portland High School.
South Portland, you got the home court advantage. So there we go. We talked about how all these youngsters would rather just work out by themselves and be friendly. If you want to go compete and test yourselves out,
I've had a couple of them join, you know, and a couple of them played quite a bit. Logan's made a couple appearances. It's fun. You know, it's a good way to compete and let the young guys come, and it's against some of the more older veteran guys. So
there we go. Nothing wrong with competing, kids. Nothing wrong with competing. Get out there and compete. Compete and get better.
I like it.
Shout out to Keegan for coming through on Big Time Hoops. Really, really appreciate it. A lot of great stories, and you know, just a great story in terms of you can come from Maine, you can go places, you can persevere. So, once again, thank you for coming on. This is good, good stuff for all the young folks out there. Make sure everyone's checking out all the previous episodes on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook. It's all over the place. Check those out, and we'll see you next week with another episode of Big Time Hoops, the podcast. We'll see you.